Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. And I also want to thank Heather Pinchbeck for sharing these lovely flowers with us. For those of you who don't know, her son's memorial service was here on Thursday, and she left a portion, a small portion of the flowers with us, and appropriately so, because today is May Day. And May Day is a Roman holiday celebrating Flora, the goddess of flowers. And although the Puritans in this country discouraged its practice, in many places they still have May poles and May trees, and they dance around them. And I don't know if they still do it, but when my kids were little, they used to make May baskets out of construction paper and fill them with flowers, mostly dandelions, my kids, you know. But they would leave them on the front porch and then ring the bell and run, and you were supposed to run after them and catch them and hug them and kiss them or something. And so they didn't run very fast because they wanted to be caught. So I have a little story for you. It's about a preacher in Iowa, Reverend Jones, and his new car broke down after the Sunday service. So on Monday, he had his car towed into the garage and for repairs. And he said to the man, "I hope you'll go easy on the cost because I'm just a preacher." "I know," came the reply. "I heard you preach yesterday." Now, don't you think that is a demonstration? Today's talk is called Your Word, and that's one of the demonstrations about how we use our word. And in the mundane world, we can use our word as a compliment, a tool of love, or a weapon, can't we? Each one of us. But I don't want to talk about that word. I want to talk about your word and the power of your word, which we're discussing right now in Foundations class. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And most of us have heard that as an explanation of how God created the world. But I want you to think about this as well, that in the beginning was the Word works just as well with the Big Bang Theory as it does with the story of creation. Think about it. All the physical properties and laws of the universe began in a nanosecond. In the beginning was the Word of creation. And every single one of us has the opportunity to use that word personally to create. The universe, through its self-knowingness, created our world, and we, through our own self-knowingness, create our own worlds, don't we? Last week I talked about oneness, and I told you that in 400 AD, Plotinus told us that thought creates, and every day we are creating. In our philosophy here, we are coming to understand just what our thoughts and our words do. They are creating, and they are life-affirming when we use them consciously. In Foundations class, we are learning and appreciating just how powerful and creative words can be. Marcel Proust said, "The real voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes." Spiritual law dictates that it must work the same every time, under every circumstance, for every person, always. There is a law of cause and effect, the karmic law, that says that what you send out to you will return to you. And we understand that the law is impersonal, and whatever we send out to it, it says yes. And sometimes that's not so great. Or at least it isn't for me. Surrounding our body is a mental atmosphere, a thought atmosphere. And you can't touch it, and you can't taste it, and you can't see it, but you certainly can feel it. And you can tell it's there because loving, generous people attract loving, generous people. And angry or sad people attract angry and sad people. It's the law of karma, the law of cause and effect. Our words come from our thoughts, and Ernest Holmes, the founder of Science of Mind, tells us that to learn how to think, To learn how to think is to learn how to live. That's kind of a big, broad statement, isn't it? And just saying nice things a few times a day isn't going to cut it for you, because there is nobody sitting up there listening. There's nobody sitting up there that's going to be impressed by what we say. Our actions speak a lot louder than our words. And changing our thoughts can take a good deal of effort, can't it? Some of us, it takes an entire lifetime. And very few of us take the time to really work on that. Very few of us take the energy required to examine our thoughts, to examine our thinking, to examine what we are creating, and to change it to something more positive, a more positive way of thinking, a more positive way of speaking, a more positive way of being. Many of us would rather just turn on the TV, right? Turn up the tunes, vegetate, and not think at all. And we're really doing ourselves a disservice when we do that, because your subconscious mind is still going on. It's happening. So your conscious part mind is that part of you that is thinking your thoughts. It's that part of you that knows who you are and is aware of everything in your life. It is the receptacle for everything you have ever felt, thought, seen, done. It's all in there, folks. And we can access it if we choose to. But also in there is race consciousness, thoughts that we've picked up from other people, from everyone who's lived on the planet. And they aren't all good thoughts, are they? I don't think Genghis Khan was real friendly and loving. And if you look at the political scene that we have now, they're not all loving and embracing. But our conscious mind has control over and can change what we allow into our subconscious. And one of the ways we do that is those people that we find to be offensive, we love them. We love them, we embrace them, and we love them, because the love that we give them will create change. Through conscious input of affirmative, positive thoughts, we change our subconscious mind, each one of us. We change our subconscious mind. Our beliefs become altered, and what we experience changes. Look back on your life and see how the different things that you've experienced have changed your life. When we learn to trust the universe, we shall be happy, prosperous, and well. It was Einstein who said, "The most important question we have to answer is the universe friendly?" The most important question we have. And one of the basic tools that we use here is affirmations. Now, you'll notice every Sunday we pass around a basket with affirmations in it, and you take one and you stick it in your pocket, you stick it in your purse, and you never look at it again, right? You just take it. But the purpose of those affirmations is to take them for the week, to read them, to repeat them, and to share them. Because as we input those positive thoughts into our subconscious mind, our life changes. We become more positive. It's repetition. It's okay if you get the same one 4 weeks in a row, because repetition is what imprints that on our subconscious mind. It reminds us the truth of our being. And so we're going to try a little something here, because it helps us to become aware of our positiveness. It helps us to become aware of our oneness with God. "Love flows through me" is a perfect example of a positive affirmation. It's personal, it's positive, it's present tense. And it is powerful when you speak it. It is powerful. So those are the tools you can use to write your own affirmations: personal, powerful, positive, and present tense. And so now here's what we're going to do, and you get to use your own name here. we're going to say, I am one with the divine, but you're going to insert your name in there. So let's say that together. I, Linda, am one with the divine. Okay, one more time. I, Linda, am one with the divine. I know that many of you have done this many times, but then, you know, stuff happens. Life happens. We get distracted. We forget. We get caught up in the appearances of lack or disharmony, don't we? And we forget. We absolutely forget to affirm our good. And then sometimes, this is my favorite, we get it into the how rather than the what. When we do a positive affirmation, we're not going to tell God how to do it. We're just going to tell God what it is that we're affirming. And we're affirming it now. Not next week, not someday. I might, I'll try. No, I am one with the divine. Tomorrow I might be. But I am one with the divine today. Huh. And then sometimes, I know this happens to me, I manifest things I don't recognize and I don't consciously remember asking for. That ever happened to you and you think, man, how did that happen? What did I think that helped to create that in my life for me? Now, everything that happens in your life, I don't believe you create for yourself. But some of them, I really believe that you do. So when you write or read an affirmation, it needs to be that positive thing. And when you say it or when you write it or when you read it and there's something in you that says, not going to work, no, then you need to change that affirmation because apparently you have a hidden belief that you're not aware of yet. And so what we need to do is we need to choose an affirmation that absolutely works for us. We need to choose an affirmation that we can believe. You know, if you look on your program and you look at some of our literature, it says, change your thinking, change your life. And we really can do that. And we have the tools here to help us do that. That's why we teach the classes that we teach. We can use the power of our words, the words you think, the words you speak. We can use the power of those words to change what's happening in our life. Now, you can't use them to change somebody else. That's kind of like slavery, you know? When you try to get somebody else to do what you want, you can only change yourself and how you respond to different situations. Artemis Ward said, it's not what you don't know that hurts you. It's what you do know that ain't so. And you know, that often is the case, isn't it? We think we know, but the truth is it just isn't so. So using the principles of our philosophy is like using the principles of math or science. They work. They simply work. Rich or poor, old or young, country bumpkin, city girl, IQ, high IQ, 2 and 2 is always 4. It doesn't matter what we are, the principle always works. 2 and 2 is always 4. It's never 6. It's not 8. It's always 4. And we can use those principles to create a budget. We can use those principles to balance our checkbook. Or we can use those principles to send a rocket to the moon. It's up to us. It's up to us how we use the principles. And it doesn't do it automatically for us, does it? We have to do a little work here. You got to get out the pen and paper or the adding machine or whatever it is and input those numbers. You have to make the calculations. You have to do it. We can use our mathematical principles and we can use our spiritual principles the same way. Anyone can use a physical principle as long as they learn about it before they try to use it. Spiritual principles work the same way. That's true for electricity. That's true for mathematics. That's true for gravity. And if we look all around us, we see all kinds of things that were not made by humans. We didn't make the trees or the stars or the flowers or the puppies. When we look at these things, we need to understand that there is a principle behind them too. And it's one of those invisible principles that we cannot see. I've never seen the principle that creates the stars. I now know about the thing itself by beholding its creation, says Reverend Marlene Oakes. And so we come to understand that we too can use those principles and use our words to create. Our thoughts and our words have power. Our thoughts and our words have power. The creative mind simply says yes. Whatever we speak into it, the creative mind says yes. So we need to choose our thoughts and our words wisely, don't we? Because I sure don't want to say I am sick and have the creative mind say yes. You know, I am heal, whole, and healthy. I'm okay with that. I want the creative mind to say yes. We may have thought that, we used to think, you know, that Jesus was the only one that was favored by God that could do these things, right? We think that only people favored by God can do these things, but I want you to think about this. It's like electricity. It doesn't matter who turns on the switch, does it? The light comes on. Doesn't matter who turns on the burner on the stove. It heats up. It doesn't matter who drops the book to the floor. It still falls. It's not somebody special. It's all of us. All of us. Principles respond to everybody all the time, no exceptions. What's important is that we don't have negative thoughts that are keeping those positive things from expressing themselves in our lives. When a person doesn't know about fire, the principle of fire, they can cause chaos instead of heat. When they use it, can't they? So it's important for us to learn about these principles because principles work in our lives. And if we use them incorrectly, we can cause ourselves a lot of discomfort and a lot of stress. And I would rather not do that. Or we can learn. We can learn to use it. We have to understand that it is not something outside of ourselves. And no one knows why principles work. And you know what? It doesn't matter. What we do know is that they do work all the time. It's how it works that's important to you and I. How do we do that? Well, we do that by the power of our thoughts and the power of the word. The way the physical laws work correspond to the way the spiritual laws of the universe work. And we live as spiritual beings. And we can apply the spiritual laws to things in our lives. And we can create because guess what? I know you've never heard this before. We're at choice. We're always at choice. And Marlene Oakes again says, the universe works for everyone equally well. And that includes me. And guess what? That includes you too. The universe works equally well for each one of us. Love and law work together as one. That great teacher, Jesus, told us to seek first the kingdom. Remember, the kingdom is within you. When we seek first the kingdom within us, all things will be added unto us. All things will be added unto us. Ernest Holmes said that for prayer to be effective, it needs to be used by someone who acknowledges and recognizes their own divinity. And that's why we have those scientific prayer steps of treatment, recognition, knowing that God is all there is, and unification, realizing that each and every one of us, one, sad to say, folks, each and every one of them is also one with God. We are one with the divine. Robert Browning, Paracelsus, says, truth lies within ourselves. It takes no rise from outward things, whatever you may believe. There is an inmost center in all of us where truth abides in the fullness. And to know rather consists in opening out a way whence the imprisoned splendor may escape that ineffecting entry for life supposed to be without. In other words, what he's saying is it comes from within us and moves outward. It doesn't come to us from some external source. It comes from within us and it moves outward. And as we learn to cooperate with Spirit, as we learn to be co-creators with the divine, we can use that affirmative prayer as part of the creative process. Each and every one of us can use the power of our word. All of us have used the power of our word at one time or another, haven't we? The seamstress, he or she, create something in their mind before they create the physical expression. The carpenter sees in his mind or in her thoughts the finished results before they create the manifestation physically. The thought of a light bulb preceded the bulb itself. The thought of an electric car came far before the electric car came. We use the creative process constantly, whether or not we know it. We're using it all the time. Many of you recognize this. This is our teaching symbol, and we often teach the process as the seed, the soil, and the plant. What we are saying is, we plant the seed, the thought, into the creative medium, the soil, and it manifests for us the plant. And so each and every one of us has an opportunity to do that. We plant the seed, it moves into the soil, and it creates the plant. And if you plant a tomato seed, guess what? It always is a tomato. It's not an ear of corn. And so when you plant a seed that's positive, what's going to manifest in your life is something positive. We use the law every day. How about you? Are you using it in a positive fashion? Do you use the law in a positive fashion, or do you have those doubts that you focus on that says, I'm not good enough, I can't do this? You know, when the law says, yes, you know, you need to watch your thinking. I am one with the divine. You are one with the divine. We need to choose our words wisely. Choose your words wisely so what you create is something positive. Our life is affected through our thoughts. And truly, truly, as we tell you here, when you change your thoughts, your life changes. Absolutely. Ernest Holmes in Science of Mind says that every day, every moment, every second, there is a choice. If it were not so, we would not be individuals. We have the right to choose what we wish to experience. A certain, specific, intelligent idea in mind will produce a certain, specific, concrete manifestation equal to itself. The tomato seed always creates a tomato. The cucumber seed never makes a tomato, it always makes a cucumber. So let's each one of us use our own self-knowingness to understand our own divinity. You are one with the divine. And to build new ways that enhance our lives and up-level the world. Think about that. If every person were to use those new thoughts to enhance their own life, and all of us would be up-leveled. You're just going to bring the world with you, aren't you? You're going to bring the people in that correspond to your thought patterns. Today, I use the power of my words to create a life that is filled with love, filled with light, and filled with laughter. And so it is. Let us pray.